Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Insurance Town. I'm the Mayor Heath Shearer and the host of this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I am pumped you are here hanging out with me today in the program because I got my good friend Cyrus Jaffrey hanging out with us today. And you're going to love this conversation. He is an entrepreneur with a capital E and a successful agency owner. And I just think you're going to learn a lot from this episode. I can't wait for you to hear it. Before we do, let me tell you about my friends over at Smart Choice. They are a network of over 10,000 independent agencies and more than 120 carriers. Their agency partners represent more than $11 billion in written premiums. And they are the fastest growing agency network, hands down. Their friendly contract puts agency partners first. You can grow your book of business, you can increase your revenue, and be able to put your clients first by partnering with Smart Choice. Go to smartchoiceagents.com and check it out. Tell them the mayor sent you. Also, my friends over at Canopy Connect, your one-click solution to getting those deck pages you need to quote your prospects. And now you can get loss runs as well just by uploading them to your dashboard. All you have to do is send the link that's customized to your agency, to your prospect, your referral partners, whoever that might be. They click on the link. Have you not done it yet? They've been a sponsor of the show forever. Go to usecanopy.com/Heath. Get a demo. Get the discount. No reason why you shouldn't. It's amazing. Also, my good friends over at Old School Marketing. At Old School Marketing, they offer a wide range of direct mail solutions tailored to suit your needs. From timeless charm of human direct mail, they ensure consistency and precision with handwritten notes. Their custom direct mail option lets you to craft personalized campaigns that resonate with your audience on a deeper level. They also specialize in individualized dynamic digital campaigns. Also, from developing integrated campaigns to developing engaging copy, placing targeted ads, and orchestrating effective email campaigns, they cover all aspects of your online presence. Go to oldschoolmarketing.com, tell them the mayor sent you, and ask them for your discount. Oldschoolmarketing.com. Guys, I'm going to get out of the way and let you check out this amazing conversation with my good friend, Cyrus Jaffrey. Cyrus Jaffrey, what's going on, my brother? How are you?
Hey, man, doing good, doing good. 2 days in a row of you, man. I can't complain.
Hey, I was about to say the same thing. I get 2 days in a row. So this is good stuff, man. And I'm glad that we've been connected. You know, it's been a little bit, but now we finally get to 2 days in a row, get to talk face to face. So, and I, you know, shout out to Chris Paradiso introducing us. And so it's cool. It's been cool. So I'm glad we finally get a chance to talk because, man, you've got an extensive resume that I want to dive into. But before we do, just how's life? How's you? How's the kids? How's everything? Are we good?
Dude, life is good. We just got back from Mexico. I took the kids for spring break there for 6 days. And honestly, man, I need 6 days of recovery. Taking a 7-5 and a 2-year-old to an all-inclusive in Mexico. I was all hands on deck. And, man, I'm tired. But we had a lot of fun, yeah. Man. The kids had a blast, calling room service every 5 minutes, you know, to get them French fries and all that, man. It was a great time.
Yeah, man. Hey, I always say the same thing. We come back from vacation with the kids. You always need a vacation for the vacation because you know, my wife and I, we have 3 kids as well. And so, you know, it's not as bad now that they're teenagers, but when they were that age, you know, you were talking about, man, you know, my youngest is 11 now, so we're good there. And my oldest is 16. So, yeah, but I can only imagine, man. So we just got off spring break as well. And so, but it's interesting when your kids get older now for spring break, all 3 of my kids went different directions. You know, I had one in Branson, Missouri doing her thing. I had one that stayed home with me to hang out. Another one went to San Antonio to watch Wimbenyana play basketball in San Antonio with the Spurs. And so we were all different directions. My wife and I were in different states, and it's just interesting how things go once you get a little bit older. But yeah, man, good stuff, man. I'm glad to hear that you could still carve out that time. I know it's important to you as we've talked a little bit about family time. And so it's very crucial that, you know, business owners and, you know, producers or wherever you are in your life that you make that time for your family. So it's super cool to hear. I appreciate that. So yeah, while we're there, I mean, why don't we just do a quick walk down memory lane? Cyrus, why don't you just give me an update and tell the audience a little bit of who you are, you know, lead us up to where you are now.
Yeah, no, appreciate you giving me the platform, man. This is an honor to be on the show. And so, yeah, man, I'm originally from Afghanistan. I was born there, I was about 2 years old when we moved to Pakistan. And then we were there for about 12 years, trying to become a refugee to come to the U.S. My uncles and aunts lived here. And yeah, so 2002, got, you know, after 10 tries of saying, no, sorry, not this time. It was our turn. You know, we hit the lottery and we came to the U.S. in 2002. Went to high school here, went to college. And then right after, got into the banking industry. Met my wife, who is actually, her dad was a State Farm agent. And I was like, hey, that'd be cool. I walked into his house. I'm like, whoa, what do you do for a living? He goes, I'm a State Farm agent. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to do, you know, on a golf course, 18th hole with a pool. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be a State Farm guy. So, you know, a year later, you know, became a State Farm agent, did that for six years, and then left in 2019, end of 2019, right before COVID, to come on the Indie Channel, and now 4.5 years on the Independent Channel. And man, it's been a fun ride. And well, I would say I'm a little exhausted, but it's been a fun ride. So
yeah, I would love to, you know, as you talk about the State Farm, there's one thing, you know, for everything that, you know, I talk about on this show, and, you know, we talk about in the industry of being independent, there's so much there, but there's also something to be said. Every person that I talk to that comes from that State Farm background, there's a lot that you learn, and there's a lot that of good stuff that comes out of being a State Farm agent, the discipline, you know, the processes, some of those things. Would you say the same thing for you?
Without State Farm, well, without Wells Fargo, I spent some time about 3-4 years at Wells Fargo, and then 4-6 years at State Farm. Honestly, man, if it wasn't for those two, there's no way I would be where I'm at today. It's almost impossible. Specifically on the State Farm side, because with State Farm, I would tell you, man, it was a very hard day when I left May of 2019 and May 9th, May 10th, I go down to zero. Like, they own the book, but you can't take away all the things I learned. So I feel like I was probably $10 million in premium I took with me, if you want to equate that to what you learn from State Farm coming on the Indie Channel. Bring it right over, man, and go to work right from scratch. So I would say it was the best experience, man, the best experience. But I don't know if I've talked to one person that I've gone indie that I've said, I wish I could go back. I would tell you that at the end.
100%. And it's funny, I got a friend of mine, I won't say his name, but, you know, that is a State Farm agent. He has been for a long time, and he's built up a good book and a good solid business here in town. And when I've talked to him about trying to convince him to go independent, he's like, man, I'm afraid that I would not want to go back. And I've built up such a core and a foundation here. And, you know, he does all the things with State Farm, and like, I can't leave that, you know, it's his home, it's his comfort. It's been like 18 years. It's a long time now he's been with him. And so he's like, I'm just afraid I would get a taste of the good life, so to speak, and not want to go back to that, you know? And so he's just, we tease him a lot about coming to the dark side someday. But for you though, let me ask you this, if you don't mind. And if not, we can cut it. But I would love to know, for those listening that don't have the opportunity to go that route and to learn from a captive or a State Farm, what are one or two of those things you might be able to talk to the audience about, like, that they might be able to learn from you on to put in their agency that maybe you learned from State Farm?
Yeah. So what you learn from State Farm is honestly the grind of what it takes to actually be successful in the insurance industry, which me and you talked about this yesterday. Dude, it's cold calls. It's being intentional about the calls that you make, the people that you talk to build a business. Yep. That's how you build a business on the State Farm side. That's how you build the business on the Indie Channel, right? But it's really when you go to State Farm with their systems and processes, they make it really easy, right? Because it's one product, one company. It just makes it a lot easy for you to go through them. Because, man, when I became a State Farm guy, so that first year was like a trial period. It's called your TICA year. So if you don't like hit certain requirements, like, you're not going to be an agent. So you invested all this time and all this money, and then a year later, they're like, all right, see you later. Like, you didn't make it. You didn't make it, right? So when they put you through that, man, you go to the grind because you're like, man, I got one ear. I got to prove myself and I'm going to work. So like, I think what it teaches you at State Farm, specifically on the captive channel, is just an easier transition to basically come through to the indie channel, because you really learn quite a bit by making those cold calls. It's easier to sell because you obviously have the brand, right? You have the brand, which makes it easier. Everybody knows State Farm versus now we're selling auto owners, which is one of the best companies in the insurance world. But some people are like, I've never heard of auto owners. I don't want to go with them. Because of your Geico's and State Farm's and Progressive, they've made it so like the brand matters if you think about it, right? So you get a taste of like success because it's easier to sell on the captive channel. It makes it a lot easier to then come to the indie channel to sell the other products, in my opinion.
Yeah, everybody knows Jake from State Farm. Everybody knows Chris Paul. Everybody knows Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. They know, you know, those types of faces. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. But on the flip side of that, you know, you're right, though. I mean, on the independent side, there's so much, you know, the positives there, too. And so, you know, again, I didn't want to dive too deep into that, but I did want, you know, those that don't necessarily get a chance to go through some of that, you know, to hear from someone who's been there before. And I've had several other people that have come on that have gone from that captive to indie or the exclusive agent to indie. Mm-hmm. And they all say similar things, but that you learn a discipline and you learn, you know, certain skills that you take with you. I've had some agents tell me 20 years later, they're still using some of the foundational principles they learned at that 100%. Captive.
100%. And I think it's really hard to honestly come on the independent channel and have the fast success. In my opinion, you can do it 100%, but if you've never done it in the past, I think it's a little bit tougher, unless you have a guy like Cyrus, a guy like Keith that have done it for 20 years, maybe, that could tell you, hey, listen, I've been on the carrier side, I've been on the indie channel, I've been on the captive side. Here are one or two, three things that you must do to be successful on the independent channel. Well, you know, that's the bottom line is activity. Like me and you talked about this all the time, being intentional about your activity, you're going to be successful. But I feel like people do the activity for a month, 2 months, whatever, and then they kind of get away from it, right? Because they don't have somebody kind of keeping track of them or telling them things to do potentially. But if you just can keep yourself disciplined on the indie channel when you first come on board, if you've never had a captive, you are going to be successful on the independent channel. But it's a little bit difficult, in my opinion, to just go dive right into the indie channel unless you have some support or a mentor to teach you that.
Sure. You know, and one of the things is I've, you know, kind of sought out and like learned your journey just by, you know, perusing through, you know, your website and talking to Paradiso or different people that we know in common. You know, I found out pretty quickly you've got some deep roots within the indie tech space and you've started to, you know, branch out in some other things there. And how quickly did that bug bite you when you came on the indie side of, like, you know, you're the founder of, you know, CEO of Quotamation? When did that bug hit you? And like, where did that come from? How did that kind of come about? If you don't mind, give me a quick story on that.
Absolutely. Honestly, I had no desires to do anything other than come on this channel and run an agency, right? But the beauty is on the independent channel when you come on, because here's how I see it. You are an agent at the captive channel and you will always be at 1099, but you're W-2 employee. Trust me. You're an employee of that agency. When you come on this channel, dude, you run a business. Like, you run a business. So if you don't know how to do a P&L, if you don't know how to do a balance sheet, if you don't know how to treat people and how to have employees and how to pay rent and have to do all these, you're legit doing a startup, right? So you gotta be able to be good at that stuff. Otherwise, man, you're gonna drown on this side because you have to take care of everything, right? So when I came on this channel, man, all I wanted to do was run an agency. I had a lot of mortgage lenders, real estate friends and stuff that all my business came from them. And they started, I had the ideas, of course, but they started contacting me and saying, hey, can we do some partnerships? Can we do some other things to where we can work together? And one led to another, right? And I started getting around the right people. When you hang out with the CEO of mortgage companies, real estate companies, of banks and credit unions, you know, you talk about the five people that you surround yourself, you're going to do big things, right? But if you surround yourself with five agents that are maybe just captive, you're always just thinking, when I was at State Farm, I never thought this other side existed. I thought it was fake. Now I'm on this side. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just kept myself in this little hole. I never learned about all these other things that we could potentially do. So to answer your question, man, I kind of like started surround myself with the right people, which I'm doing right now, you know, talking to you, talking to Chris Paradiso, your Bradley Flowers, your Carruthers. When you talk to these people in this industry, you come to realize, man, these guys are thinking a lot differently than I was thinking back in the day, than those agents are thinking. Like, we're just thinking, okay, how do we build businesses, right? How do we build our own Amazons? How do we build all the stuff? And you just start taking risks. And I'm really good at taking risks, man. And I've failed quite a bit. But one thing you would know about me is I don't mind taking risks. And I truly believe that if you don't take those risks, you're never going to have those high rewards. So I've always been that guy. I'm like, I would rather lose 20,000 on something than sit back 10 years from now and be like, man, I wish I would have pulled the trigger on that. So to answer your question, man, it was simple. I ran into it by surrounding myself with the right people, and then a need came from it. So when I was in our agency writing a bunch of business, I'm like, man, it takes 2 hours to do a quote. That's just not feasible because I have to run 30,000 quotes with all these relationships I have now. So I'm like, I either have to go find something that do the quote for me in literally 2 minutes, or I'm going to have to hire 100 people. So the need was I needed to find a solution. So I said, you know what? The solution doesn't exist. It exists here and there, certain parts of it. I wanted to go somewhere. I wanted to go find the technology where you just plug in first name, last name, date of birth, address, all drivers, vehicles, VIN numbers, replace, everything pulls up, gets directly into my management system, and then the agents can build relationships and sell policies. So the need was there. I was a risk taker, and it was a match made in heaven, and that's where Quotamation came from.
Love that. And, you know, I think it's cool that you've got that. I wasn't aware that even existed until recently. And, you know, that's one of the big draws for some of these indie tech or insurtech startups that have happened, you know, like whether it's Branch or Openly or some of those, like, oh, it's so great. You just type in a name and a phone number or whatever it might be, and you get all this information. Well, now sounds like they don't even have to have one of those two carriers. They could have that by using Quotamation.
100%. So it was for insurance agents, right? So that's where I was like, I'm an insurance agent. I built it for myself. We hired a CTO. We did all this stuff. And then a bunch of agents called and said, hey, can you just white label that, man? I'd love to use the technology. I was like, sure. So we called, well, at the time we had Easy Links. We called Easy Links and they had a QAS product that they said, hey, yeah, you can open it up and you can add agents that have Easy Links and they were able to use it. So it just kind of started that way, man. And it's been a fun ride, but I would say it's not for everybody, man. So like opening up a tech like company while you're doing all this insurance stuff and all these agencies you're running, there's a lot of hurdles you're running into. And looking back now, man, I'm only 4 years in, so we don't even have the capital, right? So like you kind of have to bootstrap a lot of these things. Tech costs a lot of money. But at the end of the day, the need that is solved for us has gotten us like 10 times ahead. A bunch of relationships we would have never had. A credit union we opened up an agency for in Illinois. I would have never had that opportunity if I didn't have a tech product to be able to pitch to the board members to be able to solidify that relationship with me.
Yeah, and I would love to dive into that too if we had 6 hours. But, you know, I think there's a lot there to be unpacked. But also, just to make sure I pull my foot out of my mouth real quick, I'm not saying anything negative against Branch or Openly. I think that's fantastic companies. What they're doing is fire. Not what I'm saying. What I was just saying is that, you know, you have created something, you know, that emulates the same thing with Quotamation. So again, friends over at Openly and at Branch, that's not what I'm saying. I was just, you know, letting you know. So make sure I pull my foot out of my mouth on that one. No, so I don't want to offend anybody.
I didn't take it that way.
I hope nobody else listened that took it that way either. I just kind of given props to your company that you created something that was able to give the listeners at home right now the opportunity, or in their car right now, the opportunity to be able to have that same thing if they wanted to reach out to Quotamation. So I wanted to, you know, highlight that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that what you brought up, though, was, you know, you found a need. And, you know, just by knowing the personality that you have and the heart that you have for our industry and for other people like you, you know, in this space, entrepreneurs that want to grow, you gave them that, you know, by, you know, rolling up your sleeve, so to speak, that, you know, work first mentality of let's get it done. And you found a way to do it. And like I said, bootstrap and all. So kudos to you for that. And so to hear, it sounds like the journey's been going well, even only 4 years in, still it's going well. You know, you're seeing an impact.
And that's what it's all about, right? I think looking back, I think we talked about this right before this, is like, why are we doing this, right? Like a lot of people, the people ask me all the time, like, why wasn't it enough? Like what you did just with Jack Insurance or Milestone or Exarban or NR, why the tech company? Why are you acquiring more agencies? Why are we buying all these buildings to move into and all these things for your agencies? And I'm like, you know what? I want to provide an environment, man, for people to come in and have a great time. I want to give them ability to be able to grow. You know, my job as a leader is to bring more leaders, make more leaders. And the way to do that is to empower them, right? Give them a place to come to that they feel comfortable in and be able to empower them for them to go become leaders. And then they make more leaders. And that's how I think our organization is made up of. And I think the impact that you and I talked about, a lot of people don't really know how much impact, like some of us, even on this podcast, like me and you were talking like, some people will listen to it. Sure. Man, but it goes a long ways, man. A lot of people listen to this. A lot of the people will act on this podcast. A lot of people listen to a lot of other things, a lot of things that me and you do and other people do. And we do make a lot of impact. And I think that's what helps me keep driven to be able to make more impact, because I hear people reaching back out to me all the time saying, hey, man, that thing you said, that really helped. Or that social media post you had, man, that really helped me today. And then just seeing that, man, it just makes me happy that like we're making a little bit of an impact, because why else are we in this life, man? Make somebody's day, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I love that, especially, you know, you being a podcaster as well and being an influencer in that space too, is like when you get those emails or those text messages or the LinkedIn DMs of like, hey, what you said here meant this to me, or this guest said this that meant that, or they'll ask questions about this or that. And yeah. You know, and that goes for anybody listening. You don't have to have a podcast or, you know, be, you know, in a certain limelight to be able to have that. You and your day-to-day life and your agency, you're making an impact. If you have employees, you're making an impact on your employees. If you have kids, you're making an impact there, whatever that is. And that's one of the things you and I connected on early was, you know, that impact and, you know, being a family man. I'm a family man, and looking at the people around you, not as, you know, these are my employees. These are people that you can make an impact. This is your family, so to speak. This is people that you care about, because what you're doing day to day is impacting their day to day. It impacts them at home. And I love that. And so one of the things that, and I will ask you this again, because I would love for you to expand on this a little bit, is, you know, before we ever hit record, before we even got into this, you know, I asked you, I mean, you have so many irons in the fire, so many things going on. What fuels you every day? And, you know, you said part of that's your answer, but if you would love to continue on that, I loved your answer on that. So what is that passion, that fire in you?
Yeah, man, I think my number one goal in my life, and I have a bio that in the bio in the bottom after everything that is said about what I've done, is basically just says that I just want to impact a million people in some capacity. I want to impact a million people in my life. Right. And that, but that impact, you can't make an impact in your life unless you make an impact in your house, in my opinion. So the impact that you make, like the most important people that you can make an impact on is your kids, right? Because they look up to you on a, man, every little thing I say. My son the other day said, I was like, hey, where'd you hear that F word from, right? He says the F word. He's 5 years old. He found out the F word. He goes, Dad, you said it last October on Halloween. I was like, that's like a year and a half ago, because it wasn't this October. It was a year before. Like, they watch and listen to everything you do, man. So my job in my life, man, is to, first and foremost, is to make sure I raise good human beings, which is those three people. Because, man, it's a crazy world right now with everything that's been happening, man. My total 100% of my focus right now is, okay, I got to make sure Sophia, Jonah, and Mateo are good human beings, and they become good human beings, and they go make impact in their own life, no matter what they do. They don't have to be an insurance. They don't have to do anything. Just be good human beings and make an impact. And then my wife, of course, is the second piece of that at home, because that's a pretty important. Because in my opinion, if those two set up correctly, and the day that I come to work, like what I say this all the time, I get so excited coming to work because I enjoy what I do. I love what I do because I impact people when I come to work, because our organization, there's 150 people and I'm the leader of the organization, which basically means a lot of these people look up to me in some shape or form. Some of them I don't even interact with once a year because we have a lot of independent contractors, but it is an impact I'm making on a daily basis. So the things I post, the things I say, the things I do on a daily basis, I know there's a lot of eyes on me that are watching me. So I got to make sure I do things that reflect our organization and me as a human being, because I want to make sure the day that I die, whether it's a funeral or whatever that is, man, that's the biggest day in my opinion, is because people will talk about the things that you did, the impact that you make that they will probably never tell you beforehand, right? So that became my life journey, man, is to just impact as many people as I possibly can. And that's because I come from Afghanistan. I'm a refugee. I moved here 20 years ago, no English whatsoever. And there's people that impacted my life. Like, I remember I was playing soccer when I was 14 years old. Mr. Robinson, it's in my book, a book that I'm building as we speak. It's Mr. Robinson, which is I played soccer with his son, Brian. He would come pick me up, man, 45-minute drive to come pick me up at 3 o'clock. And he wasn't even out of work. I don't even know how he did this. And then he would take me to soccer practice and then bring me all the way home. And now that I know the impact of time and how time is so important, I'm like, man, that guy spent 3 hours a day just driving, picking up a guy that just came to their high school to take him to soccer practice because I didn't have a ride. I didn't speak English. My mom didn't drive. So like, and then our coach Cunningham, I didn't have $45 to play soccer. So he paid $45 for me to play soccer. Soccer is a huge impact in my life, is who I am. So all those people impacted me, man. And I'm like, man, I want to be that Coach Cunningham, that Coach Robinson or whatever for other people that they could look up to me and do the things that I could do for them.
Dude, I love that. That is a phenomenal story that I appreciate. You being willing to share that, because I know there's people listening to this that are resonating with that, and they're thinking right now of those people in their lives that have impacted them. But I want people to hear, you know, your part of your story is, you know, they have that impact on their staff. You know, agency owners listening, even if you're not an agency owner, if you're a producer, if you're a CSR, if you're an underwriter, claims manager, whatever that role is in your life, in your agency, you know, you have the same ability to impact people. And I love that you come in with this positive message and being able to share that, because you do have that. And whether it's your coworkers or your staff or if you're a manager, and I think that's an important message for all of us to hear, because that, again, what are we here for if we're not here to make an impact in a positive way? And let's just be real honest, on the flip side of that coin, every single day, every moment of your life, you're making an impact, whether it's positive or negative. So really think about that as you go through your day. What kind of impact are you making at this point in your life, at that moment in the day? And we all have bad days, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you to take it to the producer side, like I tell all people all the time, like, honestly, we're in the customer service industry. Yeah, we sell insurance as a byproduct of being in the customer service industry. Like, dude, on a daily basis, you're impacting people. When you're calling people, you're impacting people. When you're binding a policy, you're impacting people. When you're changing billing and payments and all this stuff, man, people don't realize, whether you're a CSR, whether you're an insurance agent or a producer, man, like, you literally are their highest, their most, the biggest investment in their life for a lot of people is their home, is their cars. And you literally have an ability to make the biggest impact on those people. Yep. Because you're insuring their biggest, they're scared as crap. They're yeah. Like, man, like, is it covered correctly? This is all I have. To us, it's like, it's the fourth house we bound today. But to them, it's all they have, man. So I tell our producers on a daily basis, man, it's not a numbers game, man, because every call that you make is extremely important, because you can turn that one person into 10 other referrals by not 100%. Even asking for, by not even asking for referrals, by just basically telling them that they matter and that we're going to take care of them. We're going to hold their hand, and we're going to basically ensure their biggest investment that they have. And it should make them feel better to be able to trust you, to be able to send you all referrals. We build everything inside of here on that trust factor, man, because our Jaffray Insurance, which is our own organic agency, every piece of business, 95% comes from a referral partner or a referral person inside of our agency, because we live and die. We tell people all the time, we're in customer service industry. We're not in insurance industry. Yeah, we sell insurance as a byproduct, but we're 100% in the customer service industry.
Yeah, dude. And I think that's good advice to tell your producers. It's good advice to listen to on the show. Just solid all the way around, because you're right. At the end of the day, you know, if more people looked at it that way, and I think that's what makes you unique, is that you're talking to your staff and you're talking to your people, not about numbers. You know, I know a lot of that probably comes from the background that you mentioned earlier of it had to be this number of policies written, and, you know, you're going on policy count and based on this or that. And now you're looking at, you know, making that customer journey the best it can be so they can refer others, so that they can grow with you, so that that one policy may cross sell into 10 more, or may refer 5 more, or may do this or that. So I think that impact there, it sets you apart because a lot of agencies still go by that model of, at the end of the day, it's about how many policies did you write? It's about how much money did you bring in? What have you done for me lately? Whatever that whole saying is. And I think what makes you unique, it makes you successful in owning all these companies is that model.
100%. No, 100%. I think the biggest thing, like, so if you can just truly care in our industry, man, you're going to be successful.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Don't fake it. Whether you're a carrier rep, whether you're a CEO of a nationwide insurance or whatever, whether you're a producer or a CSR, if you truly just care about people and what you're doing and how you interact with other people, you're going to be successful in this industry, man, because they trust you, like trust factor, right? If they can trust you, they're gonna go with you. Like a price is a factor, all the other things, but people work with you because they trust you, and they trust you because after so for us, for example, like the way we answer the phone, man, you call our agency and you'll hear it completely different than anybody else, because when we answer the phone, every one of our producers, CSRs, account managers, when they answer the phone in our office saying, "Hey, we're having an exceptional day at Jaffray Insurance. How can I provide exceptional customer service today?" Because we want them to understand that they should expect exceptional customer service from the insurance people, because there's hundreds of insurance agents within freaking 5 miles of me. But what 100%. Differentiates me from other people are because we care and we tell them that we should be exceptional. And if we're not, you tell us, because we want to work on ourselves to be exceptional.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when you go through Chick-fil-A and it's the my pleasure. If you don't hear my pleasure, you get free food. I mean, like, we want that feedback. We want to know if we're not 100%. Doing what we're supposed to do. And so that you've set that up in your agency solid. And, you know, I wanted to get into it again, you know, full transparency to the audience listening. And you know this, if you've listened for long enough, the other 200 episodes, I don't really script anything. I hate scripting episodes. So he and I just hit record and just started talking. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, but and hopefully we can talk about it again. If we can't, we can edit it. But I love, you and I talked a little bit in the past about all the companies you own and the way you set those up and the way you develop leaders and the way, because a lot of times it's hard for entrepreneurs and agency owners to delegate or to give away control or to give away, you know, some of that, because, you know, it's just tough. It's your baby. But you have a different model in that. And I'd love for you to share a little bit of that, if you don't mind. If you don't want to, we don't have to pull that curtain back. But I'd love for you to talk about that a little bit, of how you've worked some of that way and developed leaders.
Well, my question to whoever that's listening is, do you want to grow? Like, you can, I don't want people to take this the wrong way. Like, I personally, like, I love insurance. It's giving me a greatest, but I personally do not want to be an insurance agent for the rest of my life, right? Like, I want to lead the organization. I want to be the CEO. I want to do certain things because that's what they need me to do today for our agency to be successful. Maybe one day I'll be an insurance agent and that's a different story. But today I'm a CEO, and a CEO of a company, right? My role is completely different than a producer, than a CSR. So we talk about it every year, man. We, as leaders in our organization, you know, there's about 8 of us on the leadership team. We get together on a yearly basis and say, hey, what do we need from each one of you today? This year, what do we need from you? What do we need from you? What do you guys need from me? What can I do, right? And other people, other leaders tell me what they need from me for us to be able to scale and grow at the 20%, 30%, whatever your growth factor is for your agency. So I think if you want to grow and you're at the position where I was maybe a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whenever that I stopped producing about 3 years ago, 2020, March, about a year into my, we went to work for a year, got a little bit of a book set up, and renewals start coming in. That's the day I completely stopped writing business. I haven't written a piece of business in 3.5 years because I knew for us to go where we wanted to go, like, we were writing 2 million a year. And I was like, all right, how do we write 2 million a month? Well, we wrote 2 million a month in February, and I don't have to write any business. That's the only way as an organization, I think, whatever your goals are, doesn't have to be 2 million, whatever your goals are, like, the only way for you to do that, obviously, is for you to kind of step out and empower other people to be able to do it. And they can do it a lot better than you, in my opinion, if you treat them correctly and if you hire the right people in those. But you got to hire the right people as well, right? And a lot of people don't have the capabilities also because they're like, well, I don't have money. I don't have funding. I'm only a year in. I promise you, man, you're going to be keep saying that for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. You're going to keep saying the same thing because you will never have enough money to do things. Either you're going to do it or you're not. Man, I encourage all these agents, man, pull the trigger. Hire that CSR that you've been thinking about. Hire that producer. Step out of certain things because you'll see your agency just freaking explode. That's what happened to me, and that's what happened to a lot of agents that I talk to.
Yeah, and I love that you bring up empowering people and talking to them, you know, in that way. And whether it's, and again, it goes back to some of you listening right now, whether you have one or two man shop or you've got 125, like my man Cyrus here, you know, whatever your staff looks like, I still think, you know, you could learn something from Cyrus and is talking about empowering people, whether it is giving up control or giving up equity or giving up, you know, percentage of the business, whatever it might be. I just think that there's some power in that. And I think you have found that early on, again, only 4 or 5 years in on that. And you found there's some power in that. And I just think that's fascinating to hear because a lot of people won't do that.
And it's hard. I understand it's hard. There's doubts. They're like, you are the only one that knows exactly how to do that. But honestly, and honestly, those people have to make those mistakes. And sometimes you're going to make a big mistake on a big client. But I would promise you, man, like once I look at it this way, you can make the same. I don't want my team to make the same mistake two or three times. They can make one mistake. And as big as it was, like, don't be negligent, of course, and all that stuff. But you can make one mistake and I will never yell at you. You make two mistakes, we'll have a conversation. You make the same mistake. You make the same mistake three times, we've got problems. You don't know how to do certain things, whether it's training, whether you're just not a good fit for us or whatever that is. So you just got to let people go, man. I think people are, think about this. So I think Can't Hurt Me, David Goggins said this, man. We all run at a 40% capacity. We all do. We literally have another 60% capacity that we don't tap into because we don't think we can. And that's every human being in this planet, you know? So I think if you just give people the ability, give them, empower them. And here's the thing. You got to be a little bit of a cheerleader. You got to tell them they can do it because most people will say they can't. But if I'm sitting here, I'm like, yes, you can. Dude, I'm a refugee from Afghanistan, no English whatsoever, 20 years ago. I'm over here and I feel like I'm living the dream, and I'm living the dream because I've got a healthy family. I've got a nice house that I live in and I'm doing the things that I want to do on a daily basis. So if I can do it, you can do it. So I think you got to almost like trick people into thinking they're capable of a lot bigger things. And then they're going to start thinking the same way after a while. They're going to say, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And they will accomplish certain things. So, but I understand it's human nature for you to stay in this average capacity where you don't want things to go up and down, but up and down is a lot better than like this, like a straightforward moving forward, because I don't see fun in that, man. You can't grow when it's just complacent and average.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, I think that's, you know, a recipe for success. And it may not be, you know, yours if you're listening, but, you know, for Cyrus, it's worked. And I think a lot of people that follow that same model see the same success. And so, again, I appreciate you sharing that. And one of the other things that I wanted to get into real quickly before we bow out is, you know, as I'm reading, you know, and I see your bio, we've talked a little bit. It sounds like you have a heart for community and you have a heart for, you know, certain organizations and for giving back and for fundraising and things of that nature. And I guess probably that, you know, before I heard the full story, I wanted to know where that came from. A lot of that probably comes from being a refugee. It comes from that. But tell me what that looks like for you, for your businesses, for your agency, you know, because I'm looking here at the list of, you know, leukemia research, and you've got, you know, women, you know, fighting, you know, sex trafficking, and you've got some other incredible organizations, Ava's Army and Wounded Warriors. There's so many organizations that you help and support. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that comes back from, I feel like all those organizations are people that they just weren't given a fair chance in life. They were put into certain situations to where they just couldn't get out of. Obviously, you can't control cancer. It just kind of hits you, and it's really, really difficult. And I feel like all my life, man, I've kind of been the underdog. I've kind of been that guy that had to kind of prove themselves, and always been on the back end, and always just kind of been the guy that never was given some chances potentially to kind of prove yourself. And all those organizations are kind of that way. They were put into situations that they really couldn't control, And I kind of have a heart for that, man. I feel like, and like I said, the impact that we talked about, you can make impact many different ways through your family, through your work, through your community. Dude, you could be a CSR that doesn't even talk maybe, but you could go to a shelter and just give your time. That's your impact that you're making to a community, right? So I feel like I truly believe that, like, man, the more you give, the more you get. Like, if nobody sees it, like, God sees what you do on a daily basis, being the right, doing the right things, following the right things that you need to do, and impacting other people and helping people that need the help. So I truly completely believe in that, because I was that guy that needed the help and other people helped me. And this is the time where God's like, hey, man, like, somebody helped you. Now it's your time to help the people that do need the help. And so when I run into, like, Ava's Army, for example, I'm on their board. It was a 6-year-old that got hit with cancer. My daughter's 7. So for me, like, my heart's right there, because this could be my daughter. And my daughter could be the one that had to deal with cancer, that was in the hospital for a year. And I'm like, man, I got to help those people in our community that are dealing with that now that we can financially through our business. And then the sex trafficking, man, again, I have a daughter, man. I couldn't imagine some dad. I mean, you have teenagers, right? Like, some of these people that do get sex trafficked are 18, 19, 17, sometimes years old, that come through this channel that I actually met, that were put into this situation. And they didn't know what they were dealing with, right? So I feel like if I can just give some kind of a light to them, to help them out financially, help them out by giving my time, I just think it's the right thing to do. And I think if people are not doing that, you should look into it, man, because you'll put your head on the pillow at the end of the night and you'll feel so much better, man, when you do the right thing and help those people, because those people need help, and it just makes you feel good.
Yeah, tell me, you know, a little bit as we wrap that section up. Tell me a little bit about the golf outing that you put together with your agencies or your companies.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a golf outing. Eighth year now. This is the eighth year that we have. We pick one organization, which this year again it's Ava's Army. We write them, and we've had Safeco Nationwide, all of our carrier reps at this thing with us, and basically we get about 150 players to come in, and they have a good time. They play golf, they drink, they do all this stuff. But every hole, there is ways we're making money for the nonprofit, which is for Ava's Army. And whether it's double their money with a shot in a circle, whether it's a long drive or whatever, and putting $20 into a bucket for that. So we've done that for 8 years, and we've always supported different organizations. And it's another way for us, man, to at the end of the year, man, write a massive check with the help of some of our carriers and then ourselves as well, that we match whatever we do. We match as an organization. Jaffrey Insurance matches, and then we give a check out to whoever organization we pick, because again, it's the right thing to do. It's where we're making an impact on the community, and we're making an impact on a little girl, man, that's dealing with cancer. And if we could do any little thing that we can do to find a different cure than the cure that they have right now, man, it's a win-win situation. And it's the right thing to do.
And you get your staff involved in that. You got clients involved in that.
Everyone, every staff is a required day of work for them. And it's not work, man. It's like the same thing, that the passion that I have, it's the passion that they have, yeah, as well, because those people come in all the time. It's a way for them to give back to basically a nonprofit. We don't play golf. Like, I don't play golf that day. It's all of us just volunteering to raise money for an organization. And the golf people, the people that play golf, are all like, I wouldn't call them like wealthy people, but they're all well off people that are maybe, sure, like mortgage lenders, real estate agents, financial advisors, a lot of our bigger clients. We want those people to come in. Not that the other people won't pay a lot by any means, but I feel like we can raise a lot more money with those kind of people that come into that golf tournament, and then have them hear a little bit about Ava's Army. So the girl will actually talk and tell them about Ava's Army and what they're doing, and then obviously raise some money for them as well.
Yeah, man. And so Cyrus Jaffrey on this mission to impact a million people through all of his businesses and his philanthropy and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm hoping that, you know, the thousands or so that listen here, maybe we could help you get a little bit closer. In fact, I know we did, because there's a lot of people listening right now that are probably, you know, already impacted. I appreciate your positive, you know, your story, just who you are. And I'm glad that we've become friends, and I look forward to growing our friendship. And I would love for you, if there's anything that, you know, again, I know you represent a lot of different companies, wear a lot of different hats, but if there's anything we didn't talk about, anything you would like to impart or share with any of your companies, get, yeah, the floor is yours. you know, if you want to talk about any of your companies, or if you want to give out some contact, or if you just want to share anything last minute before we take off, you know, let me know there. There's a lot there.
Yeah, I think, I guess a couple of things I would say, man. I honestly, man, I have never turned down an opportunity to talk to an agent. I've never turned down an opportunity for anybody, man. I feel like I was the guy, and here's what I'm really good at, and I would agree with this. I love reaching out to people. Like, if I hear somebody is doing great things, I'm the first one to reach out, because if you never reach out to somebody, you will never know their story. You will never know what they have done. You will never be able to learn from them, if that makes sense. And if there's one thing that I would, there's two things I want to say, but the one thing that I would encourage a lot of agents to do, man, reach out to me, reach out to Heath, reach out to all these people. And not just, so there's a lot of people that are like, maybe on social media, maybe that you hear about all the time, not just those people. There's so many other people, man, in our industry, in the insurance industry specifically, man, that are doing some amazing things. Some people that are talking about it all the time on social media, many of them are maybe not talking about it, but I always get something out of a conversation talking to anybody. It could be like my 5-year-old teaches me stuff that like I don't know sometimes. So I feel like take that opportunity, man, if you're an insurance agent, to call somebody, call me, call whoever, to just kind of, if you don't know something, if you're running into a hurdle, if you're running into problems and stuff, man, this industry is all about sharing, man. All of us are going to share. I will share. Heath will share. Everybody will want to share. And actually, those people feel good when they share. They feel good about themselves of giving back. It's a way for them to give back to an industry that has given them so much. So I encourage agents, man, to please do that. Please reach out to people and get the help that you need if you're stuck, or if you're not stuck, if you want to take the next level. What does that next level look like? Whether you want to go to $1 million in revenue, to $2 million, or $200,000 to $500,000, there's people that have done it. I have not done anything, Heath, myself. I haven't thought about these ideas. Like I told you in the beginning of the podcast, I ran into them. I ran into people that do them. I pulled the trigger. I'm good at pulling the trigger, but I've always learned from other people and made it my own, implemented it, and then we're doing it right now in our agency. And the second of it is on the quotation side, I feel like that's something that as personal lines gets better here in the next couple months, in the summer, it's gonna, I truly believe, man, we're at the end of this hard, I wouldn't say we're at the end of the hard market, at least we're in the middle of the hard market, and we're going onto the other side of this. We're in the third quarter, I should say, of this hard market, in my opinion. And personal lines are going to open up. A lot of carriers are going to, I feel like, open up this summer. A lot of carriers were profitable in Q4 and Q1. Man, we're at the end of it, man. Stick with the insurance industry. Quotamation, the personal line stuff. If you guys need any help on that side, the embedded technology for you, man, would love to share some more on that. If agents are interested in that, or if anywhere I can help, man, I just want to be available. So.
Yeah, man. So if they wanted to, where would they find you? Is the best place on LinkedIn? Is there an email address, a phone number? Where's the best place to find you?
Yeah, honestly, whichever one you'd like. LinkedIn, Cyrus Jaffrey. You can hit me up there. You can. My email address is pretty simple. Just cyrus@teamcyrus.com. TEAM. cyrus@teamcyrus.com. Reach out. And my cell phone, man, 402-213-9890. Give me a call back. Give me a call. I will call you back if I don't right away. But I truly want to help if I can. And I know every person that are doing podcasts or that are in this industry would love to do the same if you want to reach out to any of them. So,
yeah, and if I could say, you know, I found you at cyrusjaffrey.com. So if you want to cyrusjaffrey.com. And, you know, so much good stuff on there, and pictures of his cute kids and his family, and really cool. So, dude, I could go on and on and on, but we got to shut this thing down. But you and I will be talking again here in a few minutes, I'm sure. So great having you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for imparting such great wisdom and for influencing and, you know, just making an impact on Insurance Town. So I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, dude. Thank you.